to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Even though serving contrary to what the popularity gospel people say and the prosperity gospel people say, serving Jesus, if you're doing it sincerely and right, has never been easy. It is not easy, for we are engaged in the thickest spirit warfare known to mankind, and that is spiritual warfare. One of the reasons why it is so painful and difficult is because we're fighting an enemy we can't see. And our supplies come from a God we can't see. And so it is a fight. It is a battle. But I must assure you that the greatest thing in all of the world is serving Jesus Christ. My greatest joy, as my wife and children will tell you, is family devotions. And then comes preaching the holy word of God, even though getting there is difficult. Preaching the gospel. And so we say with Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it is good for us to be here. One of the wonderful sayings, Christian sayings, that I used to quote all of the time when I first learned it as a young Christian, one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I'm so thankful to God. When I used to quote that, I was just a year old in the Lord, or even younger. And then going into my second and third year, and now here it is, 40 years serving God, serving Jesus. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And if you trust Christ as Savior, you will not trade it for anything in the world either. It's a rough, dangerous road. As one author put it, it is no easy road. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Jesus, get to know him today. Because you will never regret it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. In the right corner, get into the Bible. Everybody focus on the Word of God. As I preach in your hearing this evening, by the grace of God, and by the way, many of us are wrapping up close to 1 week, right at 1 week of fasting. Many of us are doing the Daniel fast, and which we do on an annual basis this time of the year. I do recommend that you do at least one 40-day fast in your life, but do it while you're young, as I did. And I was kind of ignorant, and so I thought I could do the 40-day fast once a year. And one day, I think I was on my fifth or sixth 40-day fast with just no food, just a juice. And a couple came by and spoke to me. We were speaking outside, and I got dizzy. And I said, excuse me, I'm going to have to sit down. And they said, what? I said, I'm going to have to sit down. I'm getting dizzy here. They didn't know I was fasting, and I was not trying to tell them that. But what God told me, his son, Jesus only fasted one time, like that, 40 days and 40 nights, and you're not Jesus, so you've done enough of that. You need to do a shorter fast and maybe do the Daniel fast, and so that's what we started doing. Many people don't realize it takes a lot of fuel and energy to preach the gospel. Many have said that preaching the gospel for a half an hour preaching the Word of God is like working 8 hours a day. And I believe that to be true. Be that as it may, allow me to preach in your hearing, as the old preachers used to say. Jesus does not mind interruptions. Jesus does not mind interruptions. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 658, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1023, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, that is to the disciples of John, to the tax collectors, to the sinners at the house that he was in, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood. That word, behold, indicates out of nowhere, quickly, suddenly. In other words, something else was happening. We were going in one direction, and then zip, bam, boom, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about in the midst of the hustle and bustle and the moving about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, what a blessing it is to be called daughter. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, the privilege, and the blessing of your leaving behind an accurate record of your holy word from Genesis to Revelation. That is designed to get people saved from hell and give them new life in Christ, give them a new home in heaven, but also to increase our faith and strengthen our faith in you. What a blessing. And we thank you for it. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. pride, foolishness, rebelliousness, stubbornness, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit, playing the role of Judas and knowing it, trying to hinder your work, building it up with one hand, tearing it down with another. It's a demonic thing. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for teaching us and showing us that demons do not like to be exposed. And the newfangled church does not like to expose them. They like to hide them under the rug, throw them in the closet, the demons, the evil that's going on in Christian families, in Christian churches, in Christian lives, the hypocrisy, the phoniness, the lies that Christians tell to try to put forth a good image when in reality is nothing but decay and evil and failure and sin, nothing but a charade, people wearing masks, hiding behind their Bible studies to look spiritual. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hidden in all of that fabric is the devil and the demons of hell. For they love to deceive people into thinking that they're either saved when they're not, or spiritual when they're not, and right with you when they're not. For he is a master deceiver. Open up blinded eyes, not only in the world to be saved, but open up blinded eyes in the church. Blinded by the devil, bamboozled by the devil, deceived by the devil, run amok by the devil. And so, Holy Father God, we have realized and we have learned by your revelation that devils hate to be exposed. They cannot stand either. They cannot stand fasting. They cannot stand prayer. They cannot stand Jesus. They cannot stand the blood of Jesus. They cannot stand the constant preaching of the gospel, pounding away at the hearts of wicked men and women. They cannot stand the preaching on hell, for hell is a reality, and so is heaven. And so they fight like the devil. They battle, they kick up a whole bunch of dust, they roar and try to scare us. And so, and they plant Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases in our camps. They'll use even family members to try to hinder your work. They don't care who they use, they don't care who they hurt, they don't care who they kill. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us sweet victory over the devil, the world, and the flesh down through the years in thousands and thousands of messages, thousands of services. For he has fought us every time. And Lord, we thank you for the souls that have been saved, the souls that have gathered around devices across this country and around the globe, and those soul winners who are always bringing new people to hear the gospel because they know the gospel will be preached after I introduce them to Jesus as he is. And so, Lord, we still pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians to be revived, $3 million to come in, Lord, to build the prayer chapel, to build the library, to build the prayer tower and the mission agency, all contained in one place, to help the hundreds, yea, the thousands of dear indigenous ministers around the world with such things as Bibles. I think we've had most of these dear people ask us to send them Bibles. Lord, help our staff to, until all of that comes in and comes to pass, do this planned second stage of what we, of the vision, and making sure they get what they need. Now glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the people who have stood with us and who do stand with us. And I thank you, Lord, for my family who stand with me. And Lord, you know who they are. Bless them for doing so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, William Burkitt said, "Feeble faith oftentimes meets with a sweeter outcome than it could expect." And that is so true, and Jesus told us so. This poor woman came to Christ trembling, he said, but went away triumphant. Can somebody say amen? Now, you must understand, this is not a fairy tale book that we're reading here. This is not a literature book. Please understand this. Now, this actually happened. If you can have the faith like this woman to understand that this is a true story, put yourself in that woman's place on that dusty road that day, and you talk about desperate housewives. This woman was desperate. See, sometimes it takes some desperation for some of us to reach out to Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Christ bids her good comfort, and by her faith makes her whole. By her faith makes her whole. And as I said yesterday, my dear friends, there's nothing like being made whole. You cannot fake being made whole. Nobody can. But you cannot mistake being made whole. There's no feeling like it on earth when you are made whole, 100% whole. Everything's all right. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful feeling to be made whole. When you have peace that passes all understanding. When you have joy unspeakable. When you have a Savior who can take your itsy-bitsy little faith and change your life all the way around. There's nothing like being made whole. And there's nothing like not being whole. It's a terrible thing. It's a painful thing. Now, by way of introduction, my beloved, the Faith Life Study Bible, which I did not realize was on my Logos program that was given to me by the Logos people. And oh, what a blessing it is. And if you do not have Logos, Logos, or however you want me to say it, get it. However you say it, get it. Get it, get it, get it. I believe not only preachers ought to get it, I believe every saint of God ought to have this on their computer. You really do. It's a beautiful thing. From this Bible, that from what I understand from my sons, they tell me that they are the ones who created this Bible. My sons help me with my sermons. Sometimes my daughters do as well. And what a blessing that is. And one of the reasons why I let them do that is because I want them to interact with the Word of God themselves, so that when they leave my house, they know what God says for themselves. Not just from hearing me preach it, but them actually having to deal with it. I do a podcast, a new podcast called The Scripture and the Sense, And my baby son, he does all of that by himself, and he has to read the whole chapter that I'm reading that day. He has to take care of the pronunciation, and he has to read through the commentary. And bless his heart, he's doing a great job. And then he puts up the podcast for me. What a blessing that is. And the biggest blessing is he has to read the Word of God and hide it in his heart for himself. Be that as it may, the Faith Life Study Bible reads, Jesus has already displayed his authority over sickness, over nature, over evil, demonic, spiritual powers, and over sin. Pardon me. Now he demonstrates authority over death itself. All three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, report this episode. And all three interrupt it with the report of Jesus healing a woman on the way to raising another female from the dead. Can somebody say amen? Now, all pastors can, and all preachers can relate to what Jesus was dealing with. Because as you're going to out, you're going towards putting out one fire, along the way, you get phone calls about other little fires, and you got to stop and take care of that on the way to take care of the other fire. All pastors know about this. I'm reminded of an old preacher who was preaching a revival, I believe, in the springtime, down in Biloxi, Mississippi, one of the old traditional Black Baptist churches. And, you know, nobody can rap back like a Black Baptist preacher. And he began to talk about how Job, he kept getting these messengers, these survivors, with calamities and tragedies. And after he read the scripture, like only a Black Baptist preacher can do, he read back and said, I want to preach in your hearing tonight. If it's not one thing, it's another. Every pastor, every preacher has stories about if it's not one thing, it's another. Someone said that a woman's work is never done. That's not only the case for women, but it's the case for every pastor, bless their hearts. And I'm not a pastor. But I have served as a pastor, and I know what they go through. If it's not one thing, it's another. And so Jesus, the greatest pastor, the greatest preacher of all time, was experiencing this at this time. Depending on the nature of her ailment, the woman might have been ceremonially unclean during the entire 12-year span. In this case, her condition was not only a physical problem, but a social and religious problem as well. One of those problems that you might be hurting real bad, but you can't tell nobody. I know that's bad English, but I like to go into the Ebonics every now and then. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're hurting real bad. You caught something that out there messing around when you should not have been doing that, and it's hurting you real bad. You know you can't tell anybody, because they will look at you, even though they may fix up their face with that fake understanding look. They will classify you as unclean. You won't see them. You won't see them anymore. Anyone who associated closely with her would have become unclean too. She believed that even Jesus' clothes contained some of his miraculous powers. Jesus called her daughter. Here's a woman unclean, walking around among the people, breaking the law. But that's how Jesus is. You have to remember now, he just left a whole bunch of sinners, a whole bunch of wine bibbers, tax collectors, back at the house. And so as he was moving to go and raise somebody from the dead, now some of us would have said, okay, now, woman, I got you. Okay, but listen, you're going to have to get in line now. You know, I got a greater priority. I have an emergency right here. I got to keep on getting it so I can raise this lady from there, and I'll come back and get you on the rebound, okay? So, you know, it's priorities. Jesus called her daughter as a term of endearment. Matter of fact, there's no more beautiful name on earth. Like daughter. It's a privilege to be a daughter. And there's no greater relationship in the family like a father and his daughter. And when it's done biblically, it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to be called a daughter. It's wonderful. I was so proud of Mr. Bill Barr today. I'm not a political hack. I'm not in the political game. But I can tell character and decency. First thing, before things got started, while he was being interrogated, and even the Democrats had to show the utmost respect for the man. First thing, he said, listen now, folks, if you don't mind, before you start asking me questions, let me introduce my family. And I was so happy to hear he say, this attorney say, former attorney general say, allow me to introduce my wife of 46 years, no divorce. And then he began to introduce all of his daughters. It was very impressive. I believe all of them work somehow. His wife was a librarian. She had her BA and her master's and so forth. And then he started introducing his daughters. I believe all three of them work in the Justice Department, as he did. And he was so proud of his daughters. And I was so proud of him. I was happy for him. It's good to not only start well, it's even better to end well. And he looked happy. He looked like a happy man. He didn't look like he was scared of nobody. And I like it. I like that. And you should like it. And so he talked proudly of his daughters. I talked proudly of my daughters. I have a daughter who just came back from China. Another one who been to on the mission field twice. They're serving the Lord. My oldest daughter sends me every day segments of a book she's reading on prayer. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus called her daughter as a term of endearment. He also said, your faith has healed you. Jesus often cites a person's faith as the impetus for their healing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, while Jesus was on his way to handle one man's dire crisis, the death of his daughter. This is the daughter's day. If this was happening today, certainly Time Magazine, the New York Times, the Republicans, and the Democrats would say, this is the year of the daughter. That's the, they'll tag it in a heartbeat. This is the year of the daughter. Or at least the day of the daughter. His progress is interrupted by a woman who takes action to claim healing for a condition that she had lived with for 12 years. You talk about desperate housewives. Let me just tell you, this woman was not playing. Visit her in your mind's eye and you will see a woman with a straight face, maybe with tears dropping from her eyes, hoping that this will work. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, this woman's issue of blood was a bodily discharge of some type, or a hemorrhage, an escape of blood from a ruptured blood vessel, either natural or the consequence of disease. Many believe, of course, it was a menstrual issue making her unclean. In other words, you hear about women missing their periods. You hear about women having spotty periods. Rarely do we hear about a woman whose period does not cease. This goes on and on. And many believe that this is what was happening. Not that it never stopped, because she would have died over the 12-year period. But it just was not normal. Matthew skips a lot of the details that we are familiar with from this story in the other Gospels. As I have told you, beloved, you cannot make this up. These are true accounts, and you might as well believe them. Instead, he tells us directly what this woman did and what she was thinking while doing it. Some of you are saying, well, how can they tell what that woman was thinking? No doubt, as we do today, as we did just the other day, when this lady was walking her dog and a girl, came out of the woods. Now, we didn't know what she was thinking while the girl was approaching her, but we interviewed her afterwards, and she told us what she was thinking. So somebody evidently interviewed her and found out what she was thinking. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Somebody said the fringe of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now that's some faith. But when you're hurting, and remember now, all of the people that we have seen get great miracles, they were hurting real bad, real bad, real bad. Hurting people. See, pain can make you get a little faith up. Can somebody say amen? Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, or I will not tell. One night, around late in the wee hours of the morning, this man was getting ready to go to bed. He didn't have any money for food the next day. He whispered a short prayer And lo and behold, when he woke up, the money was there. In the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, I will not tell, unless one might think he is bragging. But this has happened thousands of times down through the years. Just a little faith will do you. We have to understand, my beloved, the extraordinary faith that this woman must have had in order to undertake what to some may seem like a small superstitious act. In the Gospels, we read of Jesus touching people in order to heal them. But only here do we read of someone touching Jesus in order to be healed. Isn't that amazing? Jesus does not mind being interrupted. Faith in Jesus will cause him to pause and stop and call you daughter or call you son. Stop fighting God, dear friends. Some of you are fighting God. God loves you, but you're mean as the devil. You're mean as a snake. And you insist on trying to do things yourself. Instead of doing like this woman, showing a little faith in Jesus, hoping against hope, and getting what she needs. Somehow this woman who has been sick for 12 years has got it into her head that if she could just touch not Jesus himself, but just the hem, my God, help us. The very edge, the fringe of his clothes, just a little piece of that material that's on his body. She got in her head by faith she would be healed. She figured that thing out. Amen, somebody. Oh, yeah, she figured that thing out. She figured that thing out. I can see her now. A desperate housewife. Husband does not even want to touch her, asking her, what's wrong with you? Sitting at the kitchen table, figuring that thing out. Husband coming by and saying, what's wrong with you? What are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Catch her mumbling something. And she says, oh, depending on the relationship, oh, don't worry about it. Depending on the relationship, I'm not talking to you. You wouldn't understand. I'm trying to figure out something. Amen, somebody. David Guzik, the great theologian, said, to the best of our knowledge, there was no promise or pattern that touching the garment of Jesus would bring healing. So where did she get this from? It seems that the woman believed this in a somewhat, some would say, superstitious way. But Jesus, he'll take it. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes, he'll take a little faith. Any kind of way you want to give it to him, he'll take it. I've tried to tell you, Jesus is easy. I believe Jesus is sitting on the edge of his throne waiting for you to just give him an ounce of faith and he'll save your soul from hell. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus is not hard. Just give him a mustard seed of faith and he'll save your soul and deliver you from hell, turn your life around, point you in the right direction, and have you preaching the gospel. He did it to me. He'll do it for you. He did it for this woman. Yet even though her faith had elements of error and maybe a little superstition, some believe, She believed in the healing power of Jesus, and his garment served as a point of contact as our our charismatic brothers call it, for that faith. There are many things that we could find wrong with this woman's theology. Yet her faith was in Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Her faith was in Jesus. She didn't touch the apostle's garment. She didn't touch all of the people bustling and hustling around him. She didn't touch their garment with faith. Only Jesus. She probably felt like so many of us who think very lowly of ourselves, and she probably was thinking that I'm a nobody. I don't even want to take up any of his time. He has more important things to do. He has more important people to talk to. I'm just a nobody. Nobody even knows my problem. I ain't nothing. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, he may not even know that I touched the hem of his garment. She was surprised that day. He knew. He may not even know, but I did it, and I got my healing. And the object of faith is much more important than the quality or even the quantity of that faith. End of quote. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, of course, knew what was happening and knew what the woman was thinking and doing. He calls her out of the crowd, saying, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Why did he offer her comfort for that faith? Because she was ashamed of her condition. She was worried about being found out. And because she was nervous about being rejected. She was going through all of the things many of us go through in life. Since she was coming as a ritually unclean person in close contact with the public and with God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Two things the religious leaders would have condemned her for. Then Jesus commends her faith, letting her know that her faith, not her touching his garment, is the reason why she received healing. Her faith in him. And your faith in him can heal your life. You can be saved from sin and hell and have a new life on this earth, a life of peace and joy that I've experienced for 40 years. Right from Jump Street until now, and it increases in a new place called heaven to go to when you die. Since I have been saved, since December the 19th, 1979, I've never worried about going to hell. I deserve to go to hell. Even since I've been saved, I've done things that are hell worthy, and you have too, so don't look strange at me. But I know that I'm under the blood. I know Jesus saved me December the 19th, 1979. And he can save you today. What this passage teaches, ladies and gentlemen, us, is that God honors true faith wherever and however it is found. Whether it is found in the desperate but bold pleading of Jairus for the resurrection of his daughter, or the timid, quiet faith of a woman so ashamed that she doesn't think herself worthy to command Jesus' attention. Jesus taught that faith is like a mustard seed, and this woman certainly had at least mustard seed-sized faith. Can somebody say amen? How's your faith today? For her faith received a great reward with her complete deliverance from that which had tormented her for so long. 12 years is a long time, folks, to be suffering like that. And when you got blood issues, that's a serious problem. Serious. For life is in the blood. Edgar Stites said, "'Tis simple faith that breaks the power and sets us free from sin. 'Tis simple faith unlocks the gate of heaven and lets us in. Just simple faith in Christ will save the humblest trembling soul. There's none so poor and none so sick, but he will make them whole. By simple faith we bring to him not wondrous words of prayer, but humbly bring a contrite heart and trust and leave it there. Thus simple faith and perfect love shall lift my soul so high, 'twill give a crown the stars above, a home, beyond the sky." Dear friend, do you want a home beyond the sky? Just have simple faith in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. And so, dear friend, dear Christian friend, have faith in God, Jesus said. No matter what your situation, people forsaking you, people persecuting you, people trying to hinder you from doing God's will. When the debts are high and the money is low, have faith in God. At least have the faith of this woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And God will deliver you, and God will bless you, and God will make you whole. He has done it millions of times for so many people, including myself. So, dear friend of mine, if you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and hell. It's not hard. It's not difficult. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins, our disobedience. If you're living right now, God is having great mercy on you, because we're all headed towards the grave. Our body is headed towards the grave. Our soul, our spirit will live on forever somewhere, either in hell or in heaven. And you do not want to go to hell, for hell is a real place. Jesus Christ spoke about hell himself. In fact, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And so therefore I must warn you not to go there by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ himself, the same Jesus Christ who preached on hell, shows you how to be saved from hell. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish where? Perish in hell. Everlasting life is in heaven with God, with Jesus. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says, and this is the promise of God, dear friend, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, black, white, red or yellow, rich or poor, living in America or living in Cambodia, makes no difference. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you don't have to be in a church to be saved. You can call on the Lord from anywhere. You can believe in your heart while riding a motorcycle, riding in a car, riding on a Ferris wheel. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking on a treadmill, wherever you might be, whatever you're doing right now, if what you're doing is dangerous, like driving, pull over and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to have mercy on your soul, forgive you of all of your sins, and save your soul from the hell you deserve. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer if you're a little bit afraid to pray it, or you're not sure how to pray it. Someone led me to Jesus, and they helped me with the sinner's prayer. I'll be glad to help you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father God, in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner by nature and by choice, and I have sinned against you. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents and many other sins. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died for all of my sins, as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, according to your servant, John the Baptist. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and present. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life on into heaven. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, and was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or right where, on the site where you are. You should see the same thing. If not, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. Also, if you're going through a difficult time, if you're having some problems in your marriage or family, or financially or otherwise, and you have a prayer request, please send that to us by email as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Our people will take care of you, and they'll stay in touch with you. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, Jesus loves you, I love you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.